Hey, a lot of people persevered last night, had fireworks anyways, so amongst the, at least on the Facebook and stuff, people complaining and griping and about everything and anything, as the people that volunteered their time to put it together struggled to keep it and persevere through the weather despite the rain and wind and had the fireworks. I think they had them down here fine. Pittsburgh ended up having them. They had to cancel a few things, but got the fireworks in. So appreciate those people for what they did. And it takes perseverance because they work long and hard at it. And people give up their time and to put that together. And that, it hurts when people start blasting everything, you know, how they're unhappy about this and that. But they don't offer to help. So thankful for those people that persevered through and got it done and do it every year. So in our country, for 250 years, have persevered through a lot of battles, you know, external battles, internal battles, you know. You know, we've learned through loss and we've learned through victory and we learned to be unified, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. And persevering through some of those battles, it was being unified that allowed us to win other battles. You know, it prepared us for those things. And battles we faced as a nation, and we're facing those things again today. We're facing to be unified, to fight the battles that are out there. Yes, I am. Perseverance. Greek words, hupomone. I mean, steadfast endurance, and especially under trials, you know, especially when things aren't going well, especially when things aren't as we like. It's actively working. It's not passively waiting. You know, it's the ability. Back then, it was like the plant, you know, the growth of a plant to thrive, even though it's in rocks and deserts, the ability of that plant to thrive, even when things are tough outside. That's perseverance. It's to maintain an active faith when everything around you is telling you to stop. You know, stop. You know, it's spiritual staying power. It's staying in the Word. It's staying focused on God. It's not giving in to being passive and waiting for something else to happen or for it to go away. You know, inactivity generally doesn't solve many issues. They usually don't go away on their own. It's not swerving to the left, it's not swerving to the right, but it's maintaining that purpose we have in our life for God and faith through the toughest of sufferings and trials. And, you know, and it's not whining. It's not, you know, why me, or why does this happen to me, or I don't deserve this, or worse, I do deserve this or that. You know, we say, you know, we pick out what we deserve and what we don't deserve. I heard the other day, the only people that get what they do, the only place you get what you really truly deserve is hell. Every place else is grace. It's not whining about it. It's having the attitude of hope, having the attitude of joy through it all. Main verse today is going to be James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know, trials are assured. It's not if, it's when. And there may be a lot of them. They may be ongoing. They may come pretty quick. You know, but they'll happen, and being a Christian doesn't change it from happening. You know, being a Christian doesn't get rid of all bad things. I know you guys know that. There's still trials and struggles. Being a Christian actually adds, I think, new trials to the ones that we and everybody else have naturally. Because you care. You love people. It brings trials. You make opposition with God's word. You know, the word says, I didn't go to all the verses, but the word says to count the cost. So it says there's going to be a cost for following Christ, for being obedient to the word. There's going to be a cost in your life for that. Some of that's these trials and things you're going to face. It says, you know, if you follow Jesus, you got to pick up and carry your cross. You know, you got to carry it. You're going to face adversity. But you got to persevere through it by having that active faith and trust in Jesus. Got to trust in Him. And then by having joy in all things. It says you can have joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing produces perseverance. Perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think there's a lot right there. You know, Romans 8:28 kind of, we didn't put that on the screen, but you know that. And we know that in all things God works for the goods of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So all the things that happen work for good. If there's a caveat, you got to love Christ. You got to love God. For those He called, all the things is working for the good. It's working for you. You know, if you ask God for something, which we do, we ask God for a lot of things, but you need to be prepared for what it's going to take to get it. You know, when you know, we always often talk about asking for patience. You know, well, you know, you're going to things happen that's going to test your patience. That's how you gain patience. You practice. You know, if you ask God to increase your faith, you're going to have things happen that's going to test your faith. You know, tough times will come. You know, in sports, do you ever hear you learn more from losses than you do in victories? That's generally more common. In victories, we tend to think we're all good. We're doing all the right things. Things flow pretty smooth. But the losses hurt. The losses hurt a little bit. We don't like the sting, the feeling of the loss. So we try to learn how to overcome that next time. We try to learn how to be better. And perseverance trains us for the next game. So that's part of our training. Also, when God calls you to do something, He prepares you for it. He doesn't call you to do something you can't do. He's going to provide preparation for you to do it. You know, David was called for a lot of great things. But He prepared him by, he gave him lions, He gave him bears. He gave him a guy named Goliath. He was given a lot of trouble to overcome with Saul. His life wasn't easy. Wasn't easy at all. Moses was called. He was taken from his family and given to a new one. Lived a high life for a while. Then he had a family he had to escape from. Then he was put in the desert for a good while. You know, maybe you face the time of living or wandering in the desert. I think we all have at some point in our life it felt like we were wandering in the desert. And maybe not knowing why, but there was a reason for it. You were probably in training of some sort. It was a teaching moment. It was an education. You know, some can only see the difficulties when we're in those times. But if you look through the eyes of faith, you can see a better outcome. Can actually see the truth of God. You know, Joshua and Caleb were a couple of guys that went in with 10 other spies to study the promised land. And they saw everything the other 10 saw. But 10 of them had fear. 10 had fear. But Joshua and Caleb, they exercised faith. What they saw was victory. They saw what was theirs through God's promise. You know, it was mentioned downstairs. Downstairs started talking about my message. They didn't know it, but I think Wanda even brought up, you know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And she mentioned that song. And, you know, as one of them I had written down, faith is the victory. You know, two believed, 10 didn't. Then those two, along with many others, Moses had to persevere another 40 years wandering in the desert until it was time to receive the promise. Again, I like that verse. Persevere finishes its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Israel kept going through trials because they kept failing. They kept needing growth. They kept needing to be renewed, recharged, you know. But again, all these things, God has a purpose in them. You know, we may not see them while we're in them. Hopefully we see maybe afterwards what's taken place, because God has a purpose in them. You know, they're for teaching. You know, we never stop learning. Our whole life, we never stop learning. They're for humbling. Sometimes we think quite a bit of ourselves. God has to kind of put us back in our place, back to be humble people, back to be thankful people. For spiritual growth, you know, sometimes we don't grow spiritually till we face the trials. You know, we have to put our trust, have to put our dependence on God. Then we grow spiritually. It increases our faith when we see God moving and changing things and working in those experiences. Those things give us experience. They give us training for what God called us to do. You know, we may go through things that others need help going through. So they provide us with the abilities we need to accomplish His purpose by helping others. That's if we persevere through them. We got to get through them. We got to do it. And if you can look at them from God's perspective, a trial can really be a friend that's helping you. It's growing you. It's changing you. Each trial has a purpose. And there's an intent from God to use it to draw you closer to Him and to form you and mold you better into His image. Then you can in turn reflect His image to others. But it takes something to get you there. It takes perseverance to get you there, not giving up. And the hardships are difficult. They are. But generally, God doesn't leave us alone. You're not by yourself. You know, He provides help. He provides encouragement that we need to continue and to not give up. You know, you're just not on an island there. You know, in the desert, we may feel lost, but He's there too. He's always there. David, he had a buddy. He had Jonathan. He had a great friend, a true friend that he shared with to help him. Later on, while they're running around the desert trying to survive and fighting off Saul's crew, he had mighty men. Mighty men to help him, encourage him in the testing. Moses left. You know, he had people. He had Jethro, his father-in-law. Kind of guided him and helped him and took him in and taught him some things. And then he had Miriam and Aaron by his side during the toughest times. You know, it takes a team. It takes a network of people. It takes a family. It takes a body of believers to help us overcome and learn from life's challenges. It takes all of us. God will put others in your life to help you if you let them. Of course, God's at the top of the list. You know, He's always there. He never leaves. He's always beside you. He doesn't leave you hanging out there. Although you may feel like it sometimes. It may feel like He's distant, but He's not the distant one. He's there. The Spirit's always with you. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know the story. You know, they persevered in obedience. They were obedient what God told them to do, but still got sent to the fiery furnace. Still got sent to the trial. You know, they didn't escape it. They didn't keep them away from it. But that fourth man they saw inside, Jesus was with them through it. They weren't by themselves. He was with them through it. And I think they were made mature and complete, lacking nothing. Imagine their testimony that they gave. Talking to Joni Moses, you know, there was a battle going on and he had to lift his arms up. And as long as his arms were up, the battle, they were winning. But he got tired. He got weary. His arms dropped and they started losing. So he tried to lift those arms up. Luckily he had help. A couple guys, Aaron and Hur, held his arms up. Helped him hold both arms up. The battle was won. But he had help. And those around him to help. And we're kind of like a lawnmower, you know. You kind of got to fix them up. You want them to reach peak performance. Sometimes the blades get a little dull. Got to be sharpened a little bit. When that's us, it's a little painful to get sharpened up, but it's got to be done. The oil gets a little dirty, you know, needs to be changed. Need cleaned up every now and then, get stuff out of our life that's bad things that's not supposed to be in there. Clean that stuff out. Got to add more fuel. Got to get a more pick-me-up. Hopefully Sundays are for that. You get fueled up for the week when you come. Filters got to be in place. Spark plugs got to put a charge in. Belts need to be renewed from time to time. You know, we also need fine-tuned for what God has for us. You know, we need filled with the Spirit. We need renewed. We need re-energized. And all of that comes by sharpening and replacing things that are holding us back and adding things that will renew us. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So perseverance builds us up. You know, it creates a strong person. But we have to do the work. You know, we have help, but we have to do the work. Others can encourage us, but they can't do it all for us. We have to put in the work. We have to put in the effort. And you've probably all heard a story about the moth or the butterfly. You know, the young man went and found a moth, a fancy moth, but it was in the cocoon stage, and found it on the tree, and he thought, I want to see that all work itself out, so I'll take that home. So he clips it off, he takes it home, and he's watching, and pretty soon it starts, he starts to see some movement in the cocoon, you know, and sees the struggle, and just still a struggle, and pretty soon he gets kind of feeling sorry for it, that it can't get out of there like it should, and so he takes a little clip and he clips the end of that cocoon open so it can get out much easier. And it does. And it crawls out. and finally works its way out. But it come out, it's got a big fat body and shriveled up wings. Doesn't look very good. Doesn't look very good. Well, in an effort to make it easier, he really put harm to that butterfly, that moth. Because you see the effort that it takes to get out pushes the fluid from the body into the wings. Fills them up and fills them, allows it to fly. And the perseverance that it takes makes it what it's supposed to be. Kind of circumventing that process, it was never going to fly. It was going to remain what it was. It was never going to reach what it's supposed to be. What God had planned for it. Because it didn't go through that trial. Didn't go through that struggle. So it came up short of what it was supposed to be. What it was meant to be. How beautiful it could be. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. Got a before our communion. A couple other verses to go through. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Right after the Faith Hall of Fame people in chapter 11. It says, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, run the race. Run the race. Persevere through the finish. Don't quit. You know, when plumbing breaks, when sump pumps break, when septic systems fail, water heaters leak, the ovens catches on fire, buses won't start, you get health issue, your knees act up, Satan joins in, and doing God's will gets difficult, and opposition comes. When people and relationships become strained or difficult, don't stop running the race. Persevere over all those obstacles. It gets better. You learn from him. You realize things. He teaches us. He says, do not be afraid. So many times. Do not be afraid. Don't give up. You know, finish the race strong. You know, and I know we've got a lot of people in here faced a lot of things. And, you know, we've got mature people in here. We've got people that's been around a while. And they fought those things and they've persevered through those things. So we have a lot of examples of that know how to do it. Revelation, we'll finish. Revelation 2, 9 and 10. It says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you're rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. So there's rewards for your perseverance in your faith. You know, your faith gets you there, but there's rewards in your perseverance going through these trials. You know, remaining totally faithful will allow you to receive eternal life as a victor's crown from God. That's quite an award. When you have trials, look, see if you can see the intent of the trial. See if you can see a purpose in it. And it will be hard, but see if you can see an intent. And then when you get through it, when you've persevered through it, look for the effects of that trial. You know, what did it mean? What did it mean to me? What did it mean for me to somebody else? I think you'll find it's relational. It's relational to God. And it's relational for you to better serve others in His name. There's purposes in the trial. There's purposes by persevering, and that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for trials. We thank you for the testing. We thank you for the things that come up in our life to make us more like you. If we just persevere through them, Lord, your word says we can be matured, lacking nothing, because you grow us through those times. Father, I'm thankful for